Bobby Jewett, 180, New Bay to Warner Brothers.
I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some lonely nights. But when I look around, and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Can I say it one more time? I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some sleepless nights. But when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low.
I'm going up beyond that to be with my Lord.
salvation that he brings. I'm a hero, my boy, with those lies and foolish ways. Yes, Satan had me for a while, but now it's Jesus' day. I've got my mind made up to serve the Lord.
Oh, pray with me, my brothers. We come before you this morning, Lord, with sincere hearts and contrite spirits, humbly bowing before you this day. Lord, we beseech you to give ear to our petitions that we lay before you. And if it will be thine holy will, empower us to do thy will as we make our way through this day's journey. Give inspiration to our hands to help others, our heads to make good decisions, and our hearts to love others as you have loved us. Lift us up to the plane of consecrated usefulness, we pray. Amen. Oh, my brothers, there's beauty and splendor in the glory of this morning as we come into the presence of the Lord to present our fervent prayers for divine help, health, and healing. Brothers, I am Roy Johnson, a friend to every Omega man, and I trust that you can feel the sweet spirit on this brand new day, a gift from our God to each of us, one that we dare not squander. For we ought follow the example of learned leadership of our fraternity, both present and past grand officers who set the right example before us because they possess the right stuff. Bowing with us this morning is our first vice grand marshalist, Mark Jackson, our grand keeper of finance, Lee Rideout, our grand keeper of records and seal, Sherman Charles, our grand counselor, Clement Osemitha. Brothers, we thank God that both GB35 Dorsey Miller and GB40 Antonio Knox demonstrate their belief in the power of prayer. They are here with us each morning. What a blessing it is to have those who have served in the office of Omega spiritual leadership and continue to lift up both fate and fortune of our beloved fraternity in prayer. This would be our immediate past Grand Chaplain Walter T. Richardson and his predecessor, Staccato Powell, both of whom continue to give spiritual guidance to those men of Omega seeking direction. They built on the inspiration set forth by Ray Johnson, the originator, who thoroughly transformed a one Thursday a month exercise into an every day of the week affair. We cannot forget our immediate past grand keeper of finance, Johnny Smith, who teaches us to count our every blessing. And sitting there with the gavel in his hand is our 42nd grand marshalist, Ricky Lawrence Lewis, who is chairman of the board and chief executive officer of the Omega fraternity. He's with us this morning, hoping he can give us a good report on his family and how they're doing in the midst of the devastation of the L.A. fires. Brother Grant, please bring us good news. The line is yours.
Good morning, Brother Grant. Thank you. I appreciate you. Certainly good to be here. Good morning, brothers from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, down here in the Mighty 7th District. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. And I'm going to take a little longer this morning, brothers, to give brothers a status report. Not only the fires in Los Angeles, but, you know, the weather all across the country. We've been tracking it. We, meaning the leadership team, has been tracking. I'm in contact with the first vice grand, Brother Howard. So we certainly appreciate all the phone calls. As it relates to Los Angeles, the wildfires are still going. About 6% containment as of last night. A lot of devastation. I mean, it's unbelievable in terms of the devastation. But we thank the first responders, the firemen, EMT, people who are willing to help, firemen who are retired are coming back to help as well. Our point of contact is Brother Terrence Course. Here's my point of view as it relates to any issues and emergencies that brothers may need, not only nationally but internationally. He's been in contact with Brother Mark Smith, our fraternity brother, who's our POC at the Red Cross. A lot of brothers have called about donations. We're still assessing that right now, primarily because the fires are still going on. I'm in contact with the chairman of the Life Membership Foundation, Brother Michael Borkins, and I'm certainly in contact with the president of Mega Charities, Brother Bobby Robinson. All those partners are willing to help brothers who are in need. We are aware that two brothers have lost their homes in Los Angeles. We are aware that one AKA has lost her life and her home. 10 Sigmas have lost their homes. So even the Divine Nine, all the Council of Presidents, we're in contact with each other as well, just trying to watch over each other. But again, the weather's bad everywhere, whether it's snow in Atlanta, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. Brother Dames just texted me this snowing in Huntsville. Brother Mike Wright just texted me this ice all over the streets in New Jersey. So it's just weather bad. Brother Jackson, Mark Jackson hit me this weather bad in D.C. So weather's bad everywhere, brother. We're praying for brothers across the country, but all eyes are right there in Los Angeles. The 100-mile-per-hour winds are still there. Brothers, there's misinformation on the news saying that there's no water in the fire hydrants. That's false. That the EMT is not available. That's false. The issue is the weather. It's the winds. Planes can't fly over 50 miles per hour. So it's basically, if you can imagine, trying to put out a fire in a hurricane. So let me let that settle for a minute. You're trying to put out a fire in hurricane gust winds. You just can't do it. So planes can't fly. The water planes can't fly over 50 miles per hour. So the planes have to be on the ground. So while the fires are burning, the weather's bad. And the word is stronger winds going to start coming back tomorrow. So it's tough. But again, we're monitoring it. We're monitoring with Mayor Bass. We're monitoring with the county supervisors. We're monitoring with brothers who live in the area, Altadena area, Pacific Palisades area. So, brother, we appreciate all the prayers. We appreciate all the phone calls. Standby for brothers who may want to donate. We're looking at Mega Charities as the opportunity for brothers who may want to donate. But, again, we're in contact with President Bobby Robinson. We'll keep the brothers abreast. Brother Grant, I'm going to stay on the call the rest of the morning afterwards. If brothers have any questions, any suggestions, I'm down in Fort Lauderdale for the Grand Keeper Finance Retreat. Brother Lee Rideout is bringing all the district KFs together just to talk about best practices, help them get through their finances, and we can share that with the chapter Keeper Finances as well. So I'm down here to support him. Back in Los Angeles tomorrow just to monitor things in Los Angeles and keep the brotherhood abreast. But again, we thank you for your prayers, brother. We need prayers. We need prayers. We need prayers. Again, if there's anything you want to do as it relates to assisting, just hold tight. We'll keep you abreast in terms of what you can do, where to send some funds, where to send some resources. We're just trying to get things kind of worked out now. Again, the containment is only 6%, so this reasonably can go on for another week, week and a half, 2 weeks or so. So we certainly need all the brothers' prayers. But again, Brother Grant, thank you. Again, I'll be on, brothers, afterwards. If brothers have any questions, any suggestions, any recommendations of resources, we're all ears and just make sure we monitor everything as we go. Brother Grant, thank you for this opportunity, and I yield back to you.
Thank you, Brother Grant. But Brother Grant, with all due respect, you've not said anything about Vicky and Wyatt. Tell us how they are doing.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Grant. Yeah, Vicky is well. Wyatt had to evacuate UCLA. All students had to leave UCLA. The air quality is extremely poor. We're wearing masks. Everybody's wearing masks in Los Angeles. We don't anticipate that to get any much better. But Wyatt is back home. He's in a good place. A couple of his friends may be heading to our house as well, particularly friends who live in other places who can't get home. We know there's a lot of air traffic issues going on, plane delays across the country because of the weather as well. But Vicky's good. She just turned 63 years old yesterday, so she had a happy birthday. So we thank the Lord for Vicky and her birthday. But Wyatt is good. Vicky's good. I'm good, Brother Grant. Again, as the Grand Boss, we're just monitoring to make sure that we stay track of brothers who are in harm's way, and we'll keep the brothers abreast as we go. Thank you, Brother Grant. I yield back to you again.
Thank you. Brothers, let me ask you, Do you have the blessed assurance that the Lord is holding your hand? Have you taken the time to take full inventory of the protection and provision that our God brings your way? Now, I'm certain that our friend Frank Wilson knows that he knows from where his blessings come. He is our Job-like brother in the midst of the demonstration of his faith, and he's here to tell it. Come now, Brother Wilson, and share with us why we should always trust in the Lord, regardless of our circumstances. The line is yours, sir.
Can you hear me, Brother Grant?
Yes, sir, clearly.
Oh, good morning, brothers. Brother Grant, Richard Lewis, thank you, because talking about putting out a fire in the middle of a hurricane. That was a song, brothers, that I use all the time. There's a praise still inside of me. Regardless of what's going on, there is a praise inside of me. Now, don't get it twisted, as John Cooper would say, brothers. I have my moments. But every time I find myself asking God, why me? The answer comes back, why not you? And then he says, how dare you, Frank Wilson? How dare you question me? Wasn't I there when you flatlined twice back in February? Wasn't I there when your wife had a stroke? Wasn't I there when she had to have a double mastectomy? Wasn't I there when you had COVID and they called your family and said you would not make it past Tuesday? Wasn't I there when you had surgery in August and they found that you had colon cancer and you had to have your colon removed in September? Then they found that you had appendiceal cancer. Wasn't I there when you have survived prostate, colon, and appendiceal cancer? How dare you question me? Why not you, Frank Wilson? You are a better example than anybody to let everybody know that I am still in the blessing business. Oh, my brothers, right now, I am broke, but I'm not broken. Some days I feel like I have to get a cosigner just to pay cash. But I refuse to let the devil take hold. One thing I learned, if you let the devil ride, he going to want to drive. I refuse to let that happen. Wasn't I there, Frank Wilson, when you made a decision to depend on me and not chemotherapy? I'm reminded, brothers, that when Christ was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. So what he's saying to me, Frank Wilson, I am not finished. And so, brothers, my song is, I don't feel no way tired. He brought me too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I know he ain't brought me this far just to leave me. So, yes, my brothers, there's a song. There's a praise in my spirit. There's a praise down in my soul. There's a glory, hallelujah, that cannot be controlled. Yes, and I still have a song to sing. I still have a praise to give. I will not turn back. I have the right to praise the Lord. Good morning, my brothers.
Oh, my goodness, Brother Wilson. You brought me up out of my chair this morning, Brother Wilson. I told the brothers that you were our Job-like brother, and here you come asking the question, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Oh, God bless you and thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Wilson. Brothers, I'm reminding that both Saturday and Sunday mornings, we are right here, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time, as the Reverend Dr. Earl Clowney, our Omega Treasure, leads us in devotion. Well, brothers, it's Tim time. Oh, I say that it's time to sit back and catch the Spirit as he guides us through the Holy Writ and take steps toward heaven. Lifts prayers for all of us. It's Tim time. All who are listening ought to give ear as he walks us through today's lesson from Genesis and then leads us to the Lord in prayer. Get ready, because the 7th District Chaplain is on his way to rise, shine, and give God glory. Lift us up, Brother Sims, and tell us what thus says the Lord. The line is yours.
Hey, good morning, Brother Grant, and to all of our brothers who are on the call, great morning to each of you. To our Grand Bosses, Brother Ricky Lewis, we salute you. To all of our international officers, we salute you, and all of our brothers, district leaders on the call today. Within our Daily Walk Bible, today we pick up on day number 10, which includes Genesis chapters 25 and 26. Within these passages, we see the storyline of the final days of Abraham and a spotlight on the life of his son Isaac. We've learned a lot about Abraham and the events of his life leading up to this point and our morning time together these past few weeks. And I believe we can all agree that as we look at the totality of his life, we will conclude collectively that Abraham was a man of prayer. And I want to make a case this morning that prayer, while it serves our present purposes and provides value for us and those around us, it is just as powerful that even after we are dead and gone, those same prayers and dedication to prayer can bless those within the legacy we leave behind. Prayer, while it serves our present purposes and provides value for us and those around us, it is just as well powerful, so powerful that even after we're dead and gone, those same prayers and dedication to prayer can bless those within the legacy we leave behind. Prayer, I believe, is the most undervalued resource in our lives and within the lives of our families. The Bible teaches that many of the blessings God wants to bestow on us, he does so through prayer. Prayer is the conduit by which God's power comes into our family. It is the way we lay hold of the promises and blessings of God. Prayer and our belief in God is how many of us can stand and continue to stand strong as we live this life, although situations and circumstances within this world try to tear us down. I agree with the viral clip from Dr. Terry Anderson that I saw online a few weeks ago, of which he declared, many of us are still alive today from the prayers of our ancestors that are no longer alive, because that's just how powerful prayer is. Hear me and watch this. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Many people, whether they are religious or not, pray at crucial points in their lives. It is a head-scratching reality that although even when people may not really believe in God, when they are frightened or in need of something outside of their own ability, they will begin to pray. So where does this impulse to pray come from, and how can we pray effectively, consistently, and not just circumstantially? Abraham's commitment to prayer throughout his life blessed his family and those he left behind, even in his death. Let me prove it to you. Abraham and Sarah prayed for Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah prayed and got Jacob and Esau. Rebekah prayed regarding the battle of Jacob and Esau in her womb and asked, why was this happening to her? Jacob, years later, even though he lived a life contrary to the will and the way of God, before he reunited with Esau, as we'll see in a few chapters, prayed to God that Esau would receive him and not kill him. I will say it again, prayer and its benefits serves not only our present personal purposes, but I believe that God allows our prayers to linger and bless those we leave behind even when we are gone. The entirety of these two chapters are the most we hear and read about Isaac's life, but although he does not bear lengthy passages in the Bible, it does not mean his life was not just as significant and impactful as others. A few quick things I see in the life of Isaac that shines bright. Here's the first, the blessing of Isaac's life. That's the very first thing I see, the blessing of Isaac's life. I believe the very first thing that shapes this thought of how Isaac lived a blessed life is because of the favoritism from his earthly father, Abraham. That's the first thing, the favoritism from his earthly father, Abraham. Isaac was the promised son born through Sarah and Abraham in their old age. And maybe he was favored because the very thought of his existence and sight of his being was a reminder that God is not only a hearer of prayers, but an answer of prayers. I believe every time Abraham looked at Isaac, every time that Sarah looked at Isaac, it was a reminder that God is so much God that even though it doesn't make sense in the earthly realm that they could birth a baby, but in the God realm, he's so much God that he could do just what they asked him to do. And maybe Isaac was a reminder to Abraham that God will do just what he says he will do. Isaac's blessed life is a direct result of his father Abraham's faithfulness and obedient life. Here is more proof that Isaac was favored. Verse 5 of chapter 25 says, Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, although he had other children from concubines. Brothers, what if the way in which we live before God today set the lifestyle and trajectory of how our children exist in the world tomorrow? We ought to seek to live our lives today in such a way that it is the preferred and desirable life that we want mimicked by our children. In other words, as I live my life today, I should live my life in such a way that if my children are sitting with pen and paper, they begin to jot down themes and ways and words they would choose to live their life. Abraham lived a life so much so that it blessed his very son. So Isaac lived a blessed life because he was shown favoritism by his earthly father, but he also lived a blessed life because he was favored by his heavenly father. Abraham dies in verse 11. And in the same verse 11, God blesses Isaac. Abraham dies in verse 11. And in the same verse 11, God blesses Isaac. I believe Abraham's obedience in life, don't miss this part, Abraham's obedience in life led to God favoring his son Isaac in his death. Because at this point in Scripture, all we know about Isaac is that he's the promised son of his father and his mother in their old age. Scripture does not suggest that he'd done anything to deserve to be blessed by God. We haven't read anywhere that he's lived a life that was pleasing to God, so much so that God desired to bless him for his words, deeds, or actions. All we know is that Abraham, his father, dies, and in the same sentence, he blesses his son Isaac. This is what I call favor. And favor doesn't need a reason, and favor doesn't need a logic. My pastor would put it this way. He would say, favor doesn't need justification or credence, but favor, watch this, is the irrevocable blessings that God bestows upon a person that cannot and is unable to be traced, track, or trail back to human origin. I'm going to say it again. Favor is the irrevocable blessings that God bestows upon a person that cannot and unable to be traced, track, or trail back to human origin. Favor is when you are blessed so much so that even if you try to point a finger at a person vertically, you can't find anybody. But all you have to do is point your finger to the sky, and that blessing you receive can't be traced to anybody in your vertical presence, your horizontal presence, but in your vertical presence. God, in his sovereign divine consciousness, decided to bless somebody even though it may not make sense to everybody. And let me tell you why you ought to be happy. The same God that blessed you and me when it didn't make sense to others is the same God that blessed Isaac when it probably didn't make sense to the readers. He is favored by God because he was blessed by God. But he also was favored by God because God answered the same prayer for him that he did for his daddy Abraham. Abraham's faithfulness is documented. Abraham's commitment to prayer to God is documented. But Isaac, verse 21, prayed to God for his wife Rebekah, for she was barren, and God answered. Just maybe Isaac heard the testimony. I'm just trying to make sense of it here. Just maybe Isaac heard the testimony of his father Abraham and how God opened the barren womb as of his mother Sarah, and made way for him. That he said to himself, if God did it for them, I'm crazy enough to believe that God can do it for me. So God blessed him with the promise of his father. God answered the prayer for his barren wife. So we see, watch this, the blessing of Isaac's life. He was shown favoritism by his earthly father. He was favored by his heavenly father. We see the favor of God on his life and God's sovereign power working in his life. Let me give you a definition for sovereignty. Sovereignty, because we're talking about his sovereign divine consciousness. Sovereignty is the hand of God in the glove of human experience, manipulating and maneuvering the affairs of your life in such a way that brings him glory and you good. In other words, sovereignty is the hand of God in your human experience. He's manipulating and maneuvering the affairs of your life behind the scenes, so much so that people can't see his hand, but he's working in your life. And when he's done working in your life, he's going to get all the glory, and you're going to be good after the fact. This is what we see in Isaac's life, because he's done nothing to deserve the blessing. He's done nothing to deserve the favor, but I believe his father's commitment to God allowed him to be blessed in his father's death. We see the blessing of Isaac's life, but we also see the burdens in Isaac's life. He was shown favoritism by his earthly father. He was a recipient of divine favor from his heavenly father. He has a testimony to shout from the mountain that God will answer prayer. And now the answered prayer they were blessed by has created burdens within their hearts and within their lives. What do we do when what we prayed for, prayed, begins to pray, prey, on our emotions and other people? What do we do when we feel that God's blessings that he has provided causes us to question the existence of that or those blessings in our lives? Here is my answer, and I want you to adopt this if it works for you. Here's my answer. Whatever we ask from God's hand, we trust the intent of his heart. Hear me. Whatever we ask from God's hand, the same belief and trust we had that God will give it, we trust the intent of his heart when we receive it. Hear me. Many times, the blessing that we receive, although we are the recipient or in reception of the blessing, we are only the faucet for how that blessing blesses other people. In other words, you might not see the manifestation of the very blessing God gives you, but there's a whole generation of people that can be blessed, and maybe God is just using you to be the faucet that blesses those behind you. So take the burdens with your head high. Take the burden standing tall with your chin straight. Take the burden with your head front and center, because the same God that is the God of the blessing is the God of the burden. Verse 21, Isaac prays to God on behalf of his childless wife. And in the same verse 21, God answers and she becomes pregnant. I want somebody to hear that who's waiting on God. Verse 21, Isaac prays to God. In verse 21, God answers Isaac's prayer. Verse 21, Isaac prays to God. And in the same verse, verse 21, Isaac, his prayer is answered by God. But watch this, verse 22, the very next verse, Rebekah, the recipient of the answered prayer, goes back to God with the question. As the twins she was pregnant with, the text says, were jostling in her womb. They were warring in her womb, and it was causing her so much pain, and the burden was so heavy on her that these blessings by God were warring in her womb, that she goes to God and she says, "Why is this happening to me?" Listen to me. Blessings and burdens are the very proof that God is using you and you have purpose in this world. Blessings and burdens are the proof that God is using you for his glory, and is proof that he is using you for purposes greater than yourself. I've come to a point in this Christian faith that I don't ask, why is it happening? But I ask, Lord, what do you want me to learn as a result of it happening? It flips, because if I trust God in the good times, I have to trust God in the uncertain times. If I trust God in the sunshine, I got to trust God in the rain. I can't flip off a switch when I want to trust him and when I don't want to trust him. So what that means is my trust should not be predicated on how I feel, but my trust should be predicated on who I know. And what I love about Isaac is Isaac continues to pray to God, maybe because he's seen his father praying to God, and because we know in our realm that God is the same today as he is tomorrow and will be forevermore. His nature never changes, so his love is the same. So if he's God of blessings, then he's in fact God of the burdens. If he's God of peace, then he can be peace in the midst of confusion. If he's in fact God of the world and the universe, he's not just God of things that are good, but he's still God when things are bad. We see the blessing of Isaac's life. We see the burdens of Isaac's life. I could keep going. We see this battle in Isaac's life. Text goes on to show as Isaac and as he's fathered the two sons, Jacob and Esau. We'll see in a few scriptures, I won't go into too much depth, how as they were born, they began to war at each other. Jacob wanted his birthright. He tricks them out of his birthright. And chapters later, they began to argue and wage war upon one another because they were two nations divided. But God is so much God that although they lived the majority of their life divided, that God brings this battle to an end and blesses them as they reunite later, chapters later, and nations are blessed by their existence. Brothers, here's the prayer I have for you this morning. Whatever you're facing, God is still God. It's not deep, but it's needed. God never ceases to be God. He never takes a day off. He never oversleeps on the job. He never not hears what we go through. He's always in tune to the very existence of our experiences. God is always alert and ready for the duties of his task, which is God in our lives. And I haven't encountered a season in my life where he's taken off being the God that I know he is. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, even as we turn on the news and even as our Grand Bosses gives that report of brothers that have lost homes and our fellow D9 counterparts that are lost homes and the fires that are still raging, the ice that is on the road, the snow that may continue to fall, the tornadoes that may be rising after this, God is still God, and we don't not go to God when things get worse. We continue to go to God when they get worse. And that's my prayer to you, that you don't lose faith and focus and persistence in reaching out to the very God, because as my daddy would say, the same God that sends a storm is the same God that can resend the storm. Let's pray. God, we thank you for how you spoke to us this morning through the life of Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. Father, we thank you that even as we stand, and many of us in our warm homes with roofs over our heads, that there are many that have lost their homes. There are many that may be wondering what tomorrow will bring. Father, I don't know what tomorrow brings for them, but I know that you are God of today and tomorrow. So I pray, God, that you would reign supreme in the minds and the hearts of those that may find themselves doubting or wavering in their faith. because of the experiences that they may be encountering. God, I pray that you would show yourself mighty in the lives of those people that are facing insurmountable situations, even 10 days into the year. God, I pray that you would even go to Los Angeles, God, and you would cease those fires, and you would allow chaos to now calm, and you would allow peace to persist and exist in that part of our country. God, I pray for those that may be doubting your existence because of what you have allowed, but help our faith to begin to always accept what you allow, because your plans are not our plans. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And even when we don't understand, God, you know all about it, and you are able to restore the lives of those who feel like their lives are falling apart. God, I pray for even the East Coast and the central part of our nation as ice and snow is falling or will begin to fall. I pray for those families that they will stay warm, they will stay safe. I pray for the brotherhood that they would stay safe and they would stay warm and our families will remain protected. We pray, God, for those that have even experienced loss just 10 days into this year, that they've stood before caskets in funerals and said goodbye to loved ones. God, we pray for Brother Frank Wilson and his family as he continues to be the crucible of what your will has allowed for his life. And I pray for his faith. I pray for his strength, that although we may see him as a strong individual, I pray that even when he's not around anyone, that he remains strong. I pray for his family, that you would allow their faith to not waver. We pray for Brother Harry Harrell. We continue to pray for him in South Florida as he buried his wife a few weeks ago, that you would continue to bless him and his family, allow his faith to remain strong as well. God, we pray for our brothers on the West Coast that are hoping the best for their city, and they're facing what seems uncontrollable by man. And God, we know that what's uncontrollable by man is controllable by you. So we pray for your power. We pray for Brother Damon Dunn, 898 Noosa, and his wife Brittany, that will bury their daughter this Monday as she has transitioned from time into eternity. God, I pray for his faith. I pray for the brotherhood that would come alongside him as he buries his young daughter. Father, we pray for, have a prayer request from Brother John Cooper, who says, my heartfelt sympathy and prayers for LB, Brother Anthony Campbell, and his family. Brother Kip Wilson says, please pray for the 12th D brothers as they're experiencing forest fires in Los Angeles. And Brother Sean Williams reports life celebration service for Mr. Allen D. Buford will be held on Friday, January 17th at 12 noon in South Carolina. So God, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for Brother Grand Roy Johnson and his family, even in the days to come and weeks to come, as they're in the aftermath of burying his mother. Father, we pray for those prayer requests that we know not of. We pray, God, that you would continue to hear us and see about us. This is our prayer to you on this day. And all the brothers on the call, listen to us and we say amen.
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 Amen, Brother Sims. Amen, Brother Sims. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a brother.
Oh, I'm mute.
Amen.
Good morning, brother.
God bless all the brothers. Long live. Never shall die.
Good morning, Great. Brother Britt McClain. Good morning, brother.
Brother Grant. Amen.
Out in the California area.
Lugo. OG3DC. One love.
I got you, my brother.